I would like to read today's honorable religious and your parishioners speak about St. Philomena, truly a saint of our times, and your privilege to have a shrine in her honor there in the back part of the church, to my right. And I encourage you, and especially the young people, to stop by her statue, stop by her shrine, and ask her to help you with all that you need. She was up against a great deal as a 13-year-old. And not only did she persevere in her virginity, she underwent great torments. And that itself is a martyr at 13 years of age. So that's an inspiring example for all young people to fight the good fight, to not give in to the world, to be faithful to Jesus Christ, and to be willing to sacrifice everything for His sake. She is truly a saint for our times. And there are some facts that point to this direction. First of all, the fact that she was unknown for 1,500 years. She was put to death around the year 300 by the Emperor Diocletian. And then after being buried in the catacombs, for whatever reason, her memory, her name, disappeared. And in 1802, when excavations were continuing to be made in the catacombs, her relics were discovered. Now, mind you, there are thousands upon thousands, if not tens or maybe even hundreds of thousands of martyrs buried in the catacombs. Some have yet to be discovered because the catacombs were these subterranean caverns and passages carved out by the Christians to hide from the Romans. If they were captured, then they were having, you know, be faithful to our Lord, even though they were threatened with tormenting them. But in order to carry on the church, it went underground. And that is also the place where the martyrs especially were laid to rest. And what would be done is, in the limestone there underneath the city of Rome, they would carve out an opening, and the body of the martyr would be placed down below. There would be like a table top or a ledge above it. And that's also where the custom arose, sanctioned by law to this day, that a priest must offer the mass on top of the relics of martyrs. And that's what's in the altar stone. Relics of martyrs have been authenticated by a bishop and consecrated by him and put in the altar. Because in the early church, in the catacombs, the priest would say mass on top of these, you know, the opening was carved out so he could just say the mass right there and get the bodies of the martyrs below. And how fitting that is, because who do we honor in the mass? But the martyr of martyrs himself, Jesus Christ, the King of Martyrs. Remember, he mystically dies in every Mass. So we see this more than just a custom, it is a law that must be followed in the offering of the Mass. So, anyway, getting back to St. Philomena, her relics were discovered, but what made her stand out among so many other holy martyrs? The miracles that God caused her to work in the 19th century. She is, to my knowledge, the only saint to have been called the wonder worker of the 19th century. Because miracle after miracle after miracle happened when her relics were venerated, when her image was venerated, when people went to her shrine there in Lugano, Italy. And even at a distance, people were receiving many miraculous favors and benefits through the intercession of St. Philomena. So God was telling us, this is the same for our modern times. Yes, I have her laid unknown for 15 centuries, but the time has come for St. Philomena to be honored. And miracles that are worked are always an indication of God's pleasure, good pleasure with this particular person. It's how the canonization of saints is determined, at least in the last 1,000 years. If there's no miracles that happen as a result of a holy person that's died, the church will not canonize that person. So they have to be at least 2 miracles for beatification and at least 2 more miracles for canonization. The St. Philomena far exceeded that. It was the miracles worth of thousands upon thousands. Let me just read to you about her life. This happened had to be given through private revelation because it wasn't written down. But nevertheless, that's all right. God showed his will by the miracles that happened. And I can't recommend to you highly enough the booklet, St. Philomena the Wonder Worker, written by EDF. It's a pen name. I forget the real name of the author. He's written other books under this interesting three letters, his initials, EDM. But anyway, revealed in a vision about St. Philomena. So let's hear these words about this great saint. This is Jesus' revelation given to Mother Mary Louise, Superior General of the Congregation of the Elders of Mary, who died in the Order of Sanctity in the year 1875. But these revelations were given well before that, when the relics were found and were being honored, and all this veneration increased very greatly. This is St. Philomena. I was the daughter of the king of a small Grecian state. My mother, too, was of royal blood. As they had no children, my parents continually offered sacrifices and prayers to their false gods to obtain the blessing of the child. There was at that time with our family a Roman doctor named Publius, now a saint in heaven, though he did not suffer martyrdom. Touched by their blindness and moved by their sorrow, he was inspired by the Holy Ghost to speak to them of our faith and assured them that their prayers would be heard if they embraced the Christian religion. His fervid eloquence touched their hearts, and their minds were at the same time enlightened by divine grace. After mature deliberation, they finally received the Holy Sacrament of Baptism. I was born at the beginning of the following year on January 10th and was called Lumina, or Light, as I had been born in the light of the faith to which my parents were now ardently devoted. They gave me the name of Philomena at baptism, that is, friend of that light which illumined my soul by the grace of the sacrament. Divine Providence permitted that the epitaph on my sarcophagus should be explained in this very sense, though the interpreters were not aware that it was the exact thought in the minds of those who had originally written it. My parents lavished every attention on me, and my father could not bear to have me out of his sight. For this reason, I accompanied them to Rome at the close of my 13th year. This journey was undertaken in consequence of the declaration of war unjustly made on us by the proud and powerful Roman emperor. Realizing his weakness, my poor father started for Rome in the hopes of making peace with the emperor. My mother and I went with him. How wonderful is destiny, who should have guessed mine? While my father earnestly pleaded his cause and sought to justify himself, the emperor kept glancing at me and replied, "Do not trouble yourself further. You may be perfectly at rest. There is no cause for anxiety. Instead of attacking you, I will place the forces of the empire at your disposal on condition that you give me the hand of your dear daughter, Philomena, in marriage." My parents parents agreed to this, and on our return home sought to convince me that I should indeed be happy as Empress of Rome. I rejected the offer without a moment's hesitation and told them that I had made myself a spouse of Jesus Christ by a vow of chastity when I was 11 years old. And the bishop goes on to say that her parents tried, unfortunately, are not strong Catholics, and they tried to talk her into breaking her vow and abandoning our Lord. Not to mention that this Diocletian was one of the harshest persecutors of the faith. No doubt was a polygamist many times over, as they all were. So, on many counts, she absolutely had to say no. And of course, showing his true colors after trying to tempt her and induce her with all these promises, then the real Diocletian showed it himself and began having tortures inflicted upon her, one after the other, scourging, being shot at with arrows. You name it, he had it done for her because she wouldn't say yes to his simple, betrayed wishes. And she was faithful all the way to the end. So this is a great saint that we have for hard times. And you have to remember, among her greatest devotees was St. John Vianney. And it's so providential that in the church calendar on August 9th, we have the feast of St. John Vianney, patron of parish priests. And then we have St. Philomena, 2 days later. I think actually it could have been on the next day, August 10th, but because that's St. Lawrence, her feast had to be then on his available day, because that St. Lawrence ranks very high. So he had this tremendous devotion to St. Philomena, and he had a shrine for her. And whenever a miracle happened, and many were many miracles in ours, St. John Vianney loved to, quote unquote, blame it on St. Philomena. Now, I'm sure many of those miracles were from his own sanctity, but humble man that he was, oh, that's St. Philomena's fault. And he meant that, of course, attributing all the miracles and good things that happened to her intercession. Pauline Marie Charicot was cured of a severe illness, and she became one of the greatest propagators of the devotion to St. Philomena in the 19th century. And she introduced this devotion, I believe, to St. John Vianney too. So a saint for our times. Our young people need to look at her for the inspiration to be faithful no matter what, because they too have many temptations. Not in the same direct way. Well, they're direct enough. Maybe not that they don't come from an emperor of Rome, but they come from the world, the flesh, and the devil. And constantly trying to derail them away from Jesus Christ. You need St. Philomena, my young people, to help you to be virtuous, courageous, faithful, modest, prayerful. You'll find every virtue you need modeled by this young lady who cooperated with the graces that God gave her and was saved for our time. Again, there were many other martyrs, and we don't take anything away from them. St. Agnes, St. Lucy, St. Cecilia, also young women who stood and endured the final test or the ultimate test. Not to mention all the male martyrs. But again, here we see the finger of God. Have her hidden, then have a great Lord in the 19th century with countless miracles. But Satan is so clever. He knows the power of this 13-year-old. And what was he going to do? To take her away somehow. Could he mount a full-fledged frontal assault, you might say, you know, just have blasphemies uttered by against her, by home then? Is it going to be as effective as something else? That was the habit modernists removed from the challenge. To me, this is one of the most indicting things about the modernists at work in the Vatican. And their final victory, or their real great victory, was especially at Vatican II, when modernism was officially introduced into church teaching, meaning that they departed from the faith. But I find it so interesting that in 1961, the modernists, it was a decree that came out under John 23rd, saying the priest of Sancta Philomena is to be expurgated from the Catholic. Notice that word expurgated. That has the idea of let's rip out every vestige. It's the only time that I have come across where a saint was, where it was said by the modernists, let's remove every vestige of her. You see how Satan tried in 1961. But it really should be no surprise when you realize that Pope St. Pius X, all the way back in 1907, recognized modernism for what it was and issued his famous encyclical in analyzing, explaining, and condemning modernism. And that made the modernists have to go into hiding because this holy pope was aware of what they were trying to do. They were trying to destroy traditional Catholic faith, traditional Catholic devotion, traditional Catholic practice. And so from 1907, the modernists suffered many a blow to their endeavors. But things were changing. And in the decade or two before Vatican II happened, the modernists began to rear their ugly heads. And there were enough modernists, enough of a modernist bent, John the 23rd, who approved this decree to say, let's get rid of St. Paul. You can read about that, by the way, in this book, excellent book, written by the late Patrick Henry Alver, The Unpersoning of St. Philomena. He analyzes how the modernists had to remove her. And we know that once the saint is canonized, and once miracles prove the authenticity of the saint, not even a pope can undo the fact of her being the saint that she is, or he is. Again, it was a grave indictment on what the modernists were doing. And we obviously would totally disregard a decree that says, let's rip out St. Philomena from the calendar. She is the wonder worker. She is the special patron of our youth. And we will not let the modernists interfere with our devotion to this saint that has been given to us. Much more can be said. But again, let's thank God for this powerful intercessor. And young people, cultivate a devotion. Let's all cultivate a devotion to her. Let's not just say devotion to her once a year on a feast day. We are privileged to have the shrine so we can often renew our devotions, not by young people, often, and all of us. St. Philomena, help me to be faithful to Jesus in